Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana, is pleased to present the marrow of the message. We continue our series in 2 Samuel, chapter 7, part 3 of David's prayer. We're looking at verses 18 through 29. Today we're going to focus in on two verses in particular where David recognized God was making his name great, both in the existence of Israel and in the declaration of a dynasty for David. And this should serve us well when we think about this as to why things are the way they are, what God is doing as He orders the event in our lives, in particular as our church, to have faith and confidence that God is still working to make His name great. I think sometimes we get tired. We begin to wonder a little bit. We begin to weaken when we're doing the same things over and over and over, but God would have us to be in awe and wonder of Him as David was, as David beheld the glory of God. That was part one. We're to be about beholding and fighting to behold, finding without disappointment, finding that God is the fullness of satisfaction in everything and in every way. As a result of that beholding, there's this movement of the Spirit in the heart of the believer, as there was in David, where his faith welled up to confidence and he pled the promises of God as in prayer. Prayer pleads promises was part two. And part three, we're going to see David digging deeper. He didn't stop at just simply pleading the promises of God. He recognized what the foundation of all that was happening in his life, all that had happened in Israel, he recognized the foundation was this. God was about making a name for himself. He was doing it all for his glory. And this brightened David and it gave him great hope. And I hope with confidence that it'll cause us to have assurance that what God is doing, He is working in time and space for His name's sake. What's in a name? When it comes to God and His name, the name establishes His character. It describes His character. It reveals His character, who He is. So in verses 23 and 26, David's grounding his confidence and his boldness in prayer upon his knowledge that God's goal in all things is to have His name known. That would be this, to have His character known, to have His reputation known. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, He told them this: when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. In other words, sanctified, may Your name be set apart in all the world. May it be high above all other names. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Jesus taught His disciples to think in terms of this when they're thinking about the name of God and praying that more people would know the character and reputation of God. Cause more people to set Your name apart as holy, to esteem, to admire, to respect, to cherish, to honor, to praise, to depend on, to trust Your character, to trust in Your name. And it would be this desire that Jesus had for His disciples to believe that God was about doing this to make His name famous, make a reputation for Himself. That is Old Testament and that is New Testament. That is the time in which we live as well. That we should be thinking as Jesus taught His disciples, as David leads by example here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, to pray God's will, make Your name known. Think how practical that would be. Forgive me of my sins, that Your name would be made known and glorified. Your name, Your forgiveness, Your mercy, Your grace. Cancer strikes. God, have Your way in this. But please, hallow Your name. Set it apart in this. David beheld the character of God, the name of God. He recalled the promises God had made, and he prayed, pleading those promises for God's glory. And we see his foundation of his confidence is the name of God, the glory of God, the character of God. Do you depend on God and His character and reputation in all that you do and all that you face? It's important to notice that David's confidence and assurance in Israel's existence and future and his dynasty's existence and future is not grounded on either Israel's faithfulness or upon David's faithfulness. Certainly not upon his offspring, as we would look in the history of Israel. But it depended upon God's faithfulness, God being faithful to make his name great, to make himself known, to spread his reputation far and wide. Israel's existence today, in 2015, is that his name would be made great. You exist today. You're on this earth that his name would be made great. How did David know that God's purpose in redeeming and delivering Israel, as we see in verse 23, and I hope that you took some time to reread these verses, but verse 23, when he's recalling Israel, and he says, "And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt?" How did David know? How did he know that God's purpose in redeeming and delivering Israel and God's purpose in establishing a dynasty for David, how did he know it was to make, that God was making his name great? He knew it because he knew God. He knew what God was about. He knew that God is not selfishly, sinfully selfish, I should say, but that God is holy and there is no one like him. Look what he said in verse 22. "How great you are, O Lord, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears," and he would say, "and as we've seen with our own eyes." How did he know? He knew God. He ordered his life at this point in time to dig deeper into the heart of God. You cannot know God fully or better if you don't dig deeper into the heart of God. We don't know him better through the blessings we receive, although we can get an idea of who he is. We know that he's kind. I guess we can know him better. But as we dig into his word and we see what God reveals about himself, do we begin to see the heart of God and that he is worthy and able to make his name great. How are you ordering your life today? How are you ordering it that you might dig deeper into the heart of God? And how does understanding God's goal that he desires to make his name great take you deeper into the heart of God? For a lot of people are turned off by that. God is all about making himself famous. Isn't that a little self-serving? Of all the beings in the universe, God, who is the one true God, who is the holy God, who is righteous without flaw or blemish, is right to make himself known. And here's the thing. He has done it. He has made his name great and let us share in that, knowing how great he is, of his beauty and of his glory and his wonder and majesty and his attributes. He has let us participate that for our enjoyment. God glorifies himself. He makes himself known that we might enjoy him. Oh, when Christians take hold of that, as I think David had taken hold of it through the scriptural revelation of God, he was able to find great delight and satisfaction in God. And he said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, there's no God like you." If we look back in 1 Samuel chapter 12, there's this event in the history of Israel. Israel had asked for a king, demanded a king. And their asking was not necessarily sinful, but in the manner in which they asked must have been rebellious. Samuel termed it as they had rebelled against God in their asking for a king. So they must have been demanding. They had been disobedient. They had been obstinate. They had refused God. And Samuel was rebuking them. It was Samuel's farewell speech. He was telling them how they had sinned. God had promised through Samuel that he would show them that they had sinned by wiping out the crops that year. And the people were greatly sorry. Verse 19, after Samuel said all this, the people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. And then Samuel brings the gospel to them and he bids them come. He says this in verse 20. "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. You have done all this evil." In other words, it's true, you have sinned. You have done evil. "Yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do no good to you, nor can they rescue you because they are useless." And then listen to this. Here's why God brought the gospel to sinning Israel. This is why God brings the gospel to sinning Jim and you and you and you. Verse 22. "For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own." He was pleased to make Israel his people for his name's sake, that his name would be great. He chose sinners, in this particular case, Abraham and his offspring, Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, that line, to glorify himself. And they were not the most righteous of people. They were sinners. But God's mercy is given according to his grace, and it's grounded on this fact that God is out making his name great, spreading far and wide his character and reputation. The gospel is good news then, because God has joined his people to himself in such a way that his name is at stake, his reputation is at stake, his glory is at stake. He binds himself. It's not a loose relationship that he can say, "You have sinned, you've dishonored me, I'm cutting you off. Our relationship is severed." God has so united us to himself through Jesus Christ and his blood shed. And as the Holy Spirit has brought us into Christ Jesus, we're united with him in such a way that God's very reputation is at stake. But for his name's sake, God was under no obligation to ever choose Israel. He was under no obligation to ever redeem Israel. But for his name's sake, he was under no obligation to save you or me. Now we can better see that when God redeems Israel, or when God redeems people today in 2015 from every peoples on the face of the earth, that his goal is to make his name great, to spread and to broadcast the glory of his character. Peter expressed this truth this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to that. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." He so unites us to himself that we're compelled to broadcast his glory and to mirror back or reflect back to the world, out to the world, the beauty and glory of God. That we declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness. As these people, these redeemed of God, praise God and make testimony to God, this reflects on God's name, on his character. When we're faithful through difficulties and trials, it reflects well on God's name. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Peter writes, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and they may glorify God on the day he visits." There will be an undeniable testimony of those who have rejected the way when they recognize God is who he says he is, and they recognize that even God's people were faithful and gave right testimony, giving glory to him. And all they can do then at this time under judgment, though, is to glorify God and to say amen that the people of God were testifying to the glory of God accurately. And then look at verse 13 of chapter 2. "Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every institution. Peter wanted the church to also recognize we do what we do and we live where we live. We are submissive to those in authority over us for his name's sake. This is key and essential to us when we begin to understand that all that God does is for the glory of his name, and all he calls us to do, the obedience he calls us to, is that his name would be made famous. He calls us to a life of obedience for his name's sake. He makes his name known through the gospel of Jesus Christ for his name's sake. He calls sinners to himself to have life and life everlasting for his name's sake. He calls us to adore him and worship him for his name's sake. And through all this, as we're fulfilling the purpose God made for us and that we would glorify him, there is the deepest of satisfaction for us because we've found the fountainhead of life. Our purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think the Westminster Divines were absolutely correct. And I think David's heart in this matter begins to be clearly seen in 2 Samuel chapter 7. That he recognizes with great delight and great joy and great satisfaction that the only reason Israel exists is because God is making a name for himself. The only reason God gave promises to David and will uphold it is that God would make his name famous. And David is finding the deepest of delight as he's digging deeper into the heart of God. From creation, God has made his name great. Psalm 19, verse 1 declares, "The heavens declare the glory of God, declare the name of God, declare the character of God." Romans chapter 1 tells us it's what creation reveals is that God has all power and God is of a divine nature. His divine nature and eternal power are revealed. God is glorifying himself in creation. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, we've talked about it already, but what he makes it perfectly clear in 2 Samuel 7, he did it to make his name great. Listen what Exodus chapter 9 verse 16 tells us. God is speaking through Moses to Pharaoh, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." God delivered Israel from Egypt, as David recognized in chapter 7, to make his name great. And in chapter 9 verse 16 of Exodus, Moses makes it perfectly clear to Pharaoh, who is the most dominant power on the face of the earth, God is saying, "I raised you up to make my name great." The plagues had come. There was this final plague about to be released, which would be the death of the firstborn, and through it, God's name would be made famous. His reputation, his notoriety would spread. We know this happened because when Israel arrived near Jericho, in Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the scripture tells us that Rahab helped the spies because she had heard of this God and she repented and believed that this God is great. God's reputation had preceded the coming of the Israelites. Oh, that it would be that in this community in which we live, that our reputation would go forward, but reputation as being a people of God. Our hope would be that his reputation would go forward through this church into this neighborhood and into the world. We say this, that we exist for this reason, to behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that more people would behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, we behold that we might glorify the glory of God. And David is getting this when he understands Israel exists, that they might behold God, recognize God as God, but also glorify the glory of God before the nations. And the church is called for the same task. We're to take this gospel, the good news of God, which wraps up his name, his character and reputation in the gospel, proclaim it, revealing Christ Jesus before the world, that we might glorify the glory of God through this message, that others would also see Jesus and praise God for his great name. arming ourselves with the knowledge that God loves His name, His character, His reputation, and spreading the glory of His name should ignite a passion to know God better. Arming ourselves with the knowledge that God loves His name and is working in all things to make His name known should cause us to want to know Him better, to dig and to dig deeper into His heart. To know Him better means to dig deeper into His heart. Armed with this knowledge that God desires His name to be great should cause us to pray bold prayers, pleading promises, trusting in Him to accomplish His will, to pray according to His will, knowing that God knows what's very best for His glory and for our good. That is a powerful statement. If it's for His glory, it's for our good. We know this, that God would have us then through this to see Him better and enjoy Him. Arming ourselves with the knowledge that God loves His name and the spreading of the glory of His name should cause us to examine our ministries, examine our areas of service, and undertake ministries and service that are bigger than our minds can conceive, that are far bigger than our arms can wrap around, to not just simply settle for small things because we don't see that there's any way we can do great things for God. Our ambition shouldn't be that we would become great, but if we understand that God desires His name to be great, and it is according to His will that His name would be great, if by faith we undertake those things that God has called us to do, such as spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what big things, what venue is too small? Or what venue is too big? What lever is too small in your life right now? How would God cause you to desire to expand it? If we're armed with this knowledge, we can undertake ministries that are bigger than our minds can conceive. Well, how is what you're doing reflecting on God's name? How does your life reflect on God's name? It either reflects wonderfully or poorly. Would that our lives would reflect God's name in great ways. What will you set aside that you know reflects poorly on God's name? And how will you use your time more wisely in order to dig deeper into the heart of God this coming year? God is out to make His name great. It is His will. And it's your heart's desire as a believer to make His name great. The Spirit has put that desire in your heart. What will you do this year to put yourself in a position to know God better, to arm yourself with this truth? May the Lord bless you and keep you.